What do you want?
Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour. We are live November 2nd, 2021. Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, here with Future Dan. How you doing there, man?
We're checking out the archive of Patriot Power Hours on FutureNature.com. Doing a little quality control test before the show. They're looking good, Ben. Updated, in order. We're episode 159 and ready to talk about what's happening at the beginning of this November 2021.
Absolutely, absolutely. Prepper Broadcasting Network, don't forget. Check us out and subscribe. Likely that's how you found us on Patriot Power Hour. But in addition to PrepperBroadcasting.com, like you said, we're located on FutureDanger.com archive. Now, first episode of November. It's Election Tuesday. It's been also 1 year since Election 2020.
And we're on approaching an anniversary of the first ever dual-hosted Patriot Power Hour. Aren't we?
Yeah, November's a big month for PPH and really for politics and the news cycle in general. So we got a lot to talk about today.
I think by next week it's the, how many years? 2017, fourth year anniversary?
Well, why don't we go to the archive?
All right.
It looks like episode two. It was November 23rd, 2017.
The lost original Patriot Power Hour that never made it. Because it was inaudible, because we weren't doing it right, is the week before that. So,
exactly.
Yeah, we're closing in on 4 years. What have you learned in 4 years, Ben?
What have I learned? I've learned that we are on to some very intense and important trends. We're not just conspiracy theorists here by any means.
Historical.
Yeah, we are on the trail. I'm not saying we're Nostradamus here, you know. But we are
witnessed history.
Yeah, we're witnessing and documenting it and trying to get ahead of it to some degree. But at the very minimum, we're witnessing and documenting it episode by episode, week by week. We've seen some crazy stuff in the last 4 years, but we're just getting started.
Yeah, I'm looking back at November 2017, the 23rd of November, episode 2, Thanksgiving Eve. And it was kicking it off, just learning how to do this amateur radio. You'd been doing it previously, but it's the first time I did anything more than just guest on other podcasts.
Yeah, man. So time's flying, and to be honest, almost every single issue that we talked about in the first few months or even the first year, none of them have been solved, whether it's financial, whether it's liberty, whether it's the surveillance state, whether it's the media, all these issues and many, many more, they've actually only gotten much worse in the last 4 years, and almost none of them have been, quote-unquote, fixed. So that's another thing I've learned, I guess you could say.
Have any of them become over, or are any of them overcome by events? Any indicators we've ever talked about, or any trends that are non-FD indicator based, any of the news and current events that concerned patriots, right? That's why we're here. That's why we call the show the show.
Right.
So to give us power, give us information, give us an awareness of where we are. And if you're looking at the whole picture on a regular basis, like you and I get together and make it happen Tuesday nights for 4 years or so. Not every week, but more weeks than not, we've done it. You know, what is there anything that's just doesn't even matter anymore? Has any of this faded away? Or are they all, you know, equally valid dangers and threats to our life, our liberty, and our property? And we just have the same board. Are we still on the same playing board? Or has that changed in 4 years?
I feel like a lot of things have, even if they've gone dormant or ended up not being a true threat materializing, it's still moved that Overton window we always talked about. It's still changed the new normal, which new events were then, you know, subsequently put on top of. Take the mainstream media and the different levels of propaganda. It's just hit a new level with COVID, of course, right? But that's just in the last year and a half. But there are many examples of media, whether it's with FBI and all the dossier and all the stuff with Trump, or several other examples of news being blatantly censored, one of the most active indicators we've seen in the last 4 years across the board. And sure, many of those specific topics under that have, you know, aren't as relevant now or are history, but they've just kind of paved the way for what's going on now. And it's almost the opposite of, you know, what do they say? I stand on the shoulders of great men. You know, like that's like, I think Einstein said that about scientists or something. Like, hey, you're giving me credit for making all these great discoveries, but without Isaac Newton, I wouldn't be jack squat, sort of thing, right? Respect your ancestors and all that knowledge. Well, this is almost the opposite. They're building up their dark energies and all their scams. And even when those die off, it just kind of paves the way and gets the population ready for the next scam.
Their big lies stand on the shoulders of their previous big lies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And wow.
Another way to look at it, I'm pretty sure it was, you know, the good old Nazi Germany. Tell a lie that's too big you know, so big that they can't disbelieve it.
I totally
butchered that, but that's kind of how, you know, that's what it was too. You know, go all in on your lie. And we've seen them go all in. I mean, more than we could have imagined 4 years ago. So what's the next 4 years going to look like? That's kind of, I guess, what we're looking at now.
So the things we're talking about, the slate of future danger indicators, it's still valid. We kind of done a quality control check tonight, and we're still looking through the prism of the indicators and how headlines fit certain indicators and what the history of those indicators over time looks like, right? We had a big respite, obviously, in a lot of the liberty indicators when Trump was president. Pretty obvious, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to be, you know, MAGA Trump lover to admit that. We're starting to see him turn back on and, you know, keeping and bearing arms, the infringement thereof. That was pretty dormant for 4 years, but, you know, picks right back up. So the tool that we do Patriot Power Hour with, you know, the lens that we look through, it's remaining intact. It's guiding us. It lets us throw together some amateur podcast real quick on Tuesday nights too.
Yeah, no. Well, a lot of credit to you, obviously, for putting all this together. But both you and I, essentially, we are preparing throughout the week, reading news and trying to stay up on topics throughout the week. So once we get up here live, we're like, hey, how much show prep did we do? Not that much. But on the other hand, we actually have done a lot. And again, especially you with Future Danger. So enough of that. We'll get to that in the second segment, the usual news blitz we do every week on futuredanger.com, the Patriot Power Hour news blitz. With a few minutes to go, though, Future Dan, some news coming out, and actually I'm not sure if this is on the dashboard. Probably not, because it's not something that's dangerous, but I want to have a little fun here.
Well, there's a lot of news that isn't necessarily dangerous. This is what's not reported in, you know, typically on the dashboard, but it will be on our show. So what's piquing your interest tonight?
The in China, and this could be just as much propaganda as anything, but they're saying they need to really stock up on
goods. Oh, we got that.
Goods.
That's here.
That's in here?
Oh, yeah.
I must have overlooked it.
No, no. It's a rarely activated indicator. In fact,
oh, there it is right there. Oh, my God.
Click on China suffers starvation, which would be dangerous for the whole world. And let us see if has it ever been active. Yes, there's three articles. The first was in September 2018, October of 2020, and November of 2021. Only three times. And these sources, they vary, right? That's Zero Hedge, Organic Prepper, and Bloomberg, right? And today's headline is Bloomberg. So take it for what you will. Like, you know, now that sources like that are reporting on such matters, you know, pay attention. They've all been low grade, green, level one, grade one indicators on future danger. But, yeah, actually, I'm looking at this as an error. Disregard one, it got misreported. So there's two, really. October 2020, anti-food wasting campaign may be forewarning of shortages in China.
Right, and that was last fall, so still after COVID. So I did overlook this then. You are ahead of the game. I saw this today. I believe it came out today. The Chinese government telling families to store food for winter amid supply fears. And
got to pay attention to that news.
It came – well, I think we'll talk about that in the bigger picture of China and potential war. But I was thinking as with regard to Prepper Broadcasting Network and prepping – what's the difference between prepping and hoarding? And we've had that conversation before, but now I want to go to a whole new level.
It's just their government's
telling them to prep. Yeah. Or you could say to panic hoard, but it's more of a prep. Their government is doing that. Is our government doing that? I don't think so.
You can paint it either way.
Exactly. And so I kind of wanted to get your opinion on, well, I was going to kind of make it fun as well and say, well, are you following this, and are you ordering your Christmas gifts early just in case the supply chain breakdown? Obviously, that's not what China's talking about here, but here in America, a lot of people are like, oh, wow, there are supply chains. I guess I should prep up and stock up and better buy my Christmas gifts early. No, they're talking about the staples, and not to mention they're having some energy issues and some agricultural growing season and issues in China. So anyway, you know, I'm not good at making jokes, but long story short, you do have it here. Do you think this is more of a non-story or a true call to arms, for lack of a better term, by the CCP getting their population ready?
Wouldn't make too much of an indicator that only has two active, instances of headlines supporting them at the low, unofficial, speculative, topical level. Now, we've seen other indicators like reverse repos after hours go from, hey, that's abnormal, to crisis level among itself, to being a leading indicator of awfully bad things 6 months later. So that's kind of how this functions. But yeah, when people talk about food shortages of any kind in a country like China, that's dangerous. It's dangerous to us. Countries that, you know, would you suspect that at a certain point they'd have to go to war just to hold the country together if they suffered starvation? I do.
Mm-hmm. No, well, and any of these in of itself could be a problem. Starvation, the financial crisis with Evergrande, which we'll talk more about. Taiwan, all of those independently are huge.
And don't underestimate the heat map.
Put them all together, though, news, and we're in big trouble. No, and I'm glad you put that out there. Look at it. We haven't seen any evidence in the past of food shortages in China, or maybe one small article last year. But again, like you said, with the reverse repos and others, this could be the tremor that brings a lot of new news. Well, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, rarely activated indicators have their own story to tell.
Exactly. Great way to put it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, going to break. Patriot Power Hour. We'll be back. Let's get into the news blitz on this November 2nd, 2021. Stick with us.
Here at the Prepper Broadcasting Network, Our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. The real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No, it's up to us, Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, Healthcare Ready, and Citizens Assisting Citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the national disaster relief effort. Get yours at disastercoffee.com.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network. Never, never leave.
Patriot Power Hour here with the News Blitz. November 2nd, 2021, episode 159 of Patriot Power Hour. Follow along, futuredanger.com. Starting in the rightmost column, go right to left tonight. Marines who refuse COVID-19 vaccination will be booted. Air Force discharging service members who refuse coronavirus vaccination. Children dying at a 62% higher rate than the five-year average since COVID-19 vaccinations began. We'll take a deep dive on that. I did earlier. On the official European database of adverse reactions, there are 28,000 deaths and 2.6 million injuries following the COVID shots. These are the official numbers. 28,000 dead, 2.6 million, quote, injuries in Europe. Official numbers. Americans who received one dose of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, 3.5 times more likely to develop blood clots. Again, futuredanger.com. You can read these studies, read these articles for yourself. Moving on to some natural news. Several volcanic earthquakes. Tambora volcano in Indonesia. Geomagnetic storm watch issued. Not too much. Obviously, NBC guy was watching that and talked a little bit about that when he's in Romania. The X-class flare. Luckily, didn't do anything too crazy. Moving on to economics. The Treasury. Wow. The Treasury has increased its estimate for how much was borrowed in one quarter to $1 trillion. Yes. First off, they can't even estimate how much they borrowed in three-month period.
$1 trillion quarter, and the number for federal government to debt to GDP ratio actually dropped 2%, Ben.
Yeah. I don't even see it. So,
since last week.
I don't trust the numbers. What can I say? But, you know, $1 trillion borrowed in a quarter? That's a $4 trillion a year. That is, I believe, more than the taxes that are gathered every year. So borrowing more than is actually taxed. Just remember that spending is a big problem, to say the least. Economic growth rate slows to 2% on a sharp slowdown in consumer spending. Consumer spending makes up approximately 70% of the GDP in America. And if that slows, well, good luck. 2% GDP growth rate at most at this point. Residential propane prices start winter heating season at the highest level since 2011. We're also seeing gas prices up by, I think, a cent or two since last week, $3.40 per gallon daily average nationally. Price of food at home up 1.1% in the last 30 days. That's pretty hot. That's 10-plus percent yearly. Your food going up 10% per year. Are you getting a 10% raise? That's what I would have to ask you. Probably not. Global food prices set to soar as oil and gas crunch continue. So not just food, but the transportation of that. Plus, of course, agriculture is very heavy on the use of fossil fuels. Geopolitics, security, military, etc. Trending, new article coming out. China launches a satellite crusher into orbit. Space Pearl Harbor feared. New Chinese satellite hints at space warfare prowess by dodging U.S. surveillance. And as we took a quick look at in the first segment, Chinese government tells families to store food for winter amid supply fears. Hey, maybe the CCP just, they're fans of Prepper Broadcast Network. I don't know.
Probably not.
Probably not. But you got to ask one why they did it. I mean, it caused some panic, and there was 40-plus million views on just one social media site about that. So there's a reason behind that. Taiwanese president confirms presence of U.S. military trainers on the island.
That could be the reason.
Might be a correlation. Vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff warns Chinese military progress is stunning.
That's another.
Moving on, we have that Navy sub, I believe the USS Connecticut.
Yep.
Grounded itself on uncharted seamount in the South China Sea. So that's why it got its big, you know, big dent in the front of it.
That's what they're saying.
Uncharted seamount in the year 2021.
That's what the U.S. Navy is saying. We hit the bottom of the ocean. I don't know. Taiwan Strait's shallow. I know, you know, relatively it's shallow, so. What's going on under the water? What's going on in space? Going on in the domains of warfare we can't see?
Yeah. Cyberspace and underwater are probably the three biggest actual theaters of war in a modern society. Cyberspace, real space, which kind of is cyberspace because that's what satellites do, support cyberspace, internet communications,
and weapons.
And underwater, which is weapon system that's high tech.
Space has got the weapon systems too.
Yeah, I mean, they got, you know, what they say, they may or may not have nukes up there and rods from God, yeah.
Communication's only part of everything in space.
Right.
The offense, the defense, it's there.
Yeah.
I don't know this from any classified sources, so pure speculation on Future Danger board, but it leads to that conclusion, doesn't it?
Definitely. And again, are probably the most difficult for the average observer to understand are the most highly classified. Deep underwater and in cyberspace and several hundred miles in the air. Russian troop movements near Ukraine border prompt NATO concern. Back to China, President Xi has not left in 21 months since before COVID. He's not left the mainland. IDF, Israeli Defense Force, drills for 2,000 rockets a day, as well as internal strife. Northern Virginia malls, shopping centers warned of a terror attack by ISIS over the weekend. Nothing happened of that. First column, family suing after son is vaccinated at school without their consent. That's when it's getting real. Wisconsin school district no longer asking for parental consent if their child changes gender pronouns or name in the classroom. Complicit media covering up covert bankruptcy of Evergrande. We talked about that a few times already on the show. It's that major Chinese property developer slash real estate fund that's going belly up. Well, not even the U.S. military, U.S. media. Not even they are talking much about that right now.
Too complicated.
That too. And if they started talking about the knockoff effects, then we wouldn't see ongoing record highs in the stock market. If they're like, oh, well, China's about to collapse, and we have a lot of exposure to that.
It's part of the rigging of the market.
Absolutely. That's why it's complicit media covering up covert bankruptcy of Evergrande under news blatantly censored. Leaked messages show internal Facebook plot to censor Breitbart. Supreme Court to hear case on Second Amendment right to carry a firearm in public. Oregon City limits how often a church feeds the homeless. Jeez, they'll come up with anything, any way to regulate you these days. Supreme Court rejects public access to rulings from Secret Surveillance Court. We'll definitely look into that one. That's one of the highest. That is the only SHTF red on black actualized highest rated of the week. So we'll definitely do a deep dive into Supreme Court rejects public access to rulings from Secret Surveillance Court. And finally, Virginia elections director says Tuesday's results may have to wait until Friday because of mail-in votes.
And this is Tuesday.
Vote
ended right before our show started. So see how that goes. See what it takes to win an election these days.
And that's it for the news blitz today.
What's your gestalt? November 2nd. What's your overall view? Where we're at, where we came from last week? What does this show you is liable to be in front of us next week? I think the Chinese news will die down. It comes in 2-week waves. Big okay. flow of articles, all, you know, you add them all together. Chinese government telling families to store food and, you know, Taiwan confirming the presence of U.S. troops. The Chinese president hasn't left the country in 21 months. I mean, that's they're on a war footing. But this news, if nothing comes of it, you know, diminishes. I bet you we don't see much for the, you know, for the China conglomerate of future danger indicators next week. That's a prognostication of mine. Seeing what will be here next is always the hardest part. I think some economic realities are coming home to roost. Evergrande is one of them because. You know, Bloomberg Radio, and they don't stop talking about Evergrande. If you're in the financial networks listening to it, it's kind of blown off. It's kind of on the sideline, but lots of things. Commenters, they have to circle back to it, which goes to your theory that, you know, debt is assets to other people who are concerned about not being paid on their ownership of debt instruments. Right. So. Evergrande's been making their coupon payments lately, Ben, or when's the next big one that gets fudged?
No, yeah, they're not making their coupon payments to foreigners anymore. They'll still pay it within China.
So they're on a lifeline in China.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty much saying they're never going to pay out. I'm almost positive they've just totally defaulted on the foreign creditors. That's why they're bankrupt. But they're still paying, trying to pay internal customers and in other ways, like, hey, here's an apartment in lieu of your investment that is now gone, but we got an apartment in a ghost city that you can have, or a condo. I don't think that many people are happy about it, though. So it's not going anywhere. I think you said it perfectly. This is basic, but even someone who studies finance and accounting or any of that can kind of lose sight of it. But you always got to remember, liabilities and assets are always equal. So someone's debt is another person's asset. So if you wipe out the debt, then you're wiping out someone's asset. You just got to remember that. So, hey, let's get rid of all the student debt. Okay, well, how about we just get rid of your pension too? Is that fair? I mean, some people would say we're going to do that reset anyway, and it's planned and coordinated for the entire collapse and reset, where, yeah, we will wipe out all assets and debts. That's the whole point. And then everyone will be equally poor. I mean, that's what I'm seeing into the future. But
did you cover the or get involved in the, I think it was 1997 contagion that started in the Thai real estate market?
Yeah, it was like Indonesia too, like kind of the whole, was it in Thailand and specifically? I was a little too young for that, I'm not going to lie.
So all the Asian economies, they were known as the flying geese, right? After World War II, the Japanese industrialized and exported first, Taiwan and Hong Kong later, South Korea after that, eventually mainland China and Vietnam, Philippines. They were called the flying geese, with Japan being the lead goose in the flying forward towards free economic enterprise. That was the storyline then. And in 1997, over speculation in property markets in Thailand, I think, you know, Bangkok properties, kind of like Evergrande, they went bad, and the contagion flowed right back through those flying geese economies and then to the United States briefly. And it was a wave of defaults and threats of defaults and central bankers panicking about IMF, International Monetary Fund, IMF bailouts are thought to have contributed to forestalling something that could have been much worse. That was 20, if I got my dates right, 24 years ago or so. We are so past that. We are so past the scenario. I mean, the Chinese have taken it to all-time record fraud levels.
Oh, for sure. It's literally orders of magnitude larger. Trillions and trillions instead of millions and millions. I mean,
larger in terms of the buildings that were, you know, built fraudulently and overspeculated in.
The population affected, and
order of magnitude larger in terms of the amount of people affected, the dollars involved, the bailout. That's where we are now.
For sure. All right, guys, we're going to break. We'll be right back on Patriot Power Hour. The second half, stick with us.
Americans are still not protected against COVID-19. And we are seeing more infections among those who are unvaccinated. I issued a Surgeon General's advisory on the dangers of health misinformation. Surgeon General advisories are reserved for urgent public health threats. The bass and the tweeters make the speakers go to war. Misinformation poses an imminent and insidious threat to our nation's health. The mighty trumpet brings the freaks out to the floor. Health misinformation is false, inaccurate, or misleading information about health. The bass and the tweeters make the speakers go to war. Misinformation takes away our freedom. The mighty trumpet brings the freaks out to the floor. Misinformation has led people to resist wearing masks. What we call disinformation. We need an all-of-society approach. Checking sources before they share. Tell me where the freaks at. If you're not sure, don't share. Today, the Rockefeller Foundation is announcing a $13.5 million commitment. This is just the beginning. We expect more from our technology companies. We get that bass thumping, people jumping all over the world. Take action against misinformation super spreaders. Got that freak flow, freak show, welcome to the circus. Bringing individuals and organizations together. Let the leaders lead, preachers preach, welcome to the circus. Nearly every death we are seeing now from COVID-19 could have been prevented. See, we do this for a purpose, just to keep that fire burning. kids are depending on all of us to get vaccinated. More and more patients with COVID-19 who never got vaccinated because they were misled by misinformation. Healthier information environment. There is disinformation that is coming from bad actors. Not sharing is caring. Misinformation literally costing us our loved ones. Technology companies have a particularly important role. Much more has to be done, and we can't wait. It's costing people their lives.
Tell me where the freaks at. We are in regular touch with these social media platforms. We've increased disinformation research and tracking. We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook. We're helping get trusted content out there. COVID community court. Robust enforcement strategy. Information travels quite quickly on social media platforms. Information spreads too quickly. We have empowered, engaged, funded local voices to combat misinformation that's traveling online or traveling, unfortunately, out of the mouths of elected officials.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
We are back having very vigorous discussion off radio. The commercials are flying. We're still talking about all this different news, all this other stuff going on. One thing you had asked me was looking at the GDP versus debt ratio. And, you know, I just, from a big picture, I just wanted to say, does it make sense to people that consumer spending is 70%+ of gross domestic product? And what I mean here is people buying televisions or new tables for their house, all those type of things. And yes, food and other items, but a good amount of this is consumer discretionary spending. That's not the same. And then right before we came on air, Future Dan made a good comment and I retorted, if all these items were made in America, then that might be positive economic growth or economic activity.
That's not how they measure it.
But when we're buying hundreds of billions of dollars
imports
of trade deficit every year from China alone, let alone India, all these others.
Yeah, but the imports are imported by American subsidiaries that, as the measurements go, American companies selling TVs in the United States, right? That's produce.
And they make some money. I thought they get a little profit, like Best Buy. Like you make some employees at Best Buy, yeah. But it's not like really building the future economic value of America, like making a new semiconductor factory, or in the old days, a new car factory, or some real capital means of production, investing in that. That's what I consider real growth, or at least more valuable economic activity, is building that capital, using that technology, and make it more efficient, overhauling and improving your infrastructure so less time is burned, you know, in traffic and with car accidents. That is true productivity. But in my opinion, kind of go full circle, the GDP and the economic health that they try to present on the fraudulent media these days is heavily pumped up with a lot of this frivolous spending and a lot of it coming from that 0% interest rate, that if they got rid of that fluff, the GDP numbers would look horrible and it would be a whole different world out there.
I remember when it was called gross national product.
Right.
GNP.
Yep. Yep. So I know it's kind of getting deep in the woods, or deep in the weeds, economically.
The economy's stalling, the debt skyrocketing. Yeah. This isn't the way successful countries proceed throughout their history. It ends badly.
And almost every topic we cover here has a similar theme in that regard. Now, we're talking on finance, but when you're talking about COVID, when you're talking about cybersecurity, when you're talking about all these different items, they all suffer from the same sort of inflated, you know, they're all talk, not much substance with regard to how we're dealing with the problem. Or just, are we papering over the problem literally by printing money or figuratively with other means? So,
majority of this country doesn't recognize the problem. That's not dealing with it. You got to identify it as a problem.
Right. Well, yeah, they don't. And some of them think it's actually a good thing, which is
it'll collapse.
That's a problem in itself.
It'll collapse the way we are now.
Mm-hmm. And on one of his daily audio caches, NBC guy, Newt Guru, was talking about how in Romania they lock everything up all the time. And there's always this like malaise, and you're always worried about people stealing from you. And just society's like a lot more distrustful than America. And that's where we're heading to. I mean, our institutions are failing. People don't trust them. So quickly thereafter, society itself breaks down. And I mean, of course, Romania's like that. They're behind the Iron Curtain and under a bunch of tyranny and oppression. But unfortunately, NBC guy said, feels like America's heading in that direction pretty quick of more distrust and breakdown at the societal level. So,
yeah, extreme social welfare, aka communism, for 70 years meant that Romania's history and all the Eastern Bloc and Russia, all the Soviet states have had they have that legacy, right? They got into it for so long. So many people killed, so many generations suppressed, oppressed, that hard to be a lot different from it after you emerge from the hardcore communism. Still socialized system with a lot of mistrust and theft. Resembles, I don't know, California and New York.
Well, I was thinking that actually in my head. I was like, well, I'm sure, there's certain areas in Queens or in all different places in America, too, not just on the coasts, where, you know, you lock your door, too, and there's all types of people cutting out catalytic converters overnight and all types of shit going on, like a lot worse than it ever has been. We talk about the good old days in America, but unfortunately, it seems like how things are now are almost the good old days if we keep progressing. So keep that in mind. With your preparedness plans, I guess. But,
well, we've been on air for 4 years. Good old days of 2017 meant we didn't have the COVID pandemic and everything that came with it. It was so much better in 2017.
Right. Oh, for sure. Since then, we're just another several trillion dollars in debt and no real fix to that either. But all right, well, time is flying. As always, having a great show, but that just means time flies. We only got about 13 minutes or so, 13, 14 minutes before we play the final music, make way for Next Generation. What articles, or if not articles, just overall topics, have we not hit that you kind of want to touch on?
Yeah, crack into that Chinese satellite crusher.
All right.
Let's talk about what they are now putting into space. Actually, you read three articles. And one of them is about a Chinese satellite that was able to get near other U.S. satellites, surveillance satellites, and move away at high speed. Now, I got to be honest, I haven't read both articles from top to bottom, so I'm pretty sure we're talking about two different satellites. One has got a robotic arm, the Crusher. It's in space to, you know, remove space debris, of which there's an awful lot, especially since China previously shot at and destroyed their older satellites, smashing them into bits all over different orbits, low, near and far. So, you know, what the author of this article we're linked to here and discussing is saying is that, you know, debris from a Chinese perspective is U.S. assets in space, right? So they put a large, you know, mini station up there that can go and clear stuff out. But again, we have no idea what our country has up there, right, or other friendly countries have up there. Space is a, you know, entirely clandestine domain. And occasionally we get little windows of reports and news reports. So it's important with anything in the security column indicators, when you get news publicly about some of this stuff, as you're fond of saying in the economic sphere, it's, you know, there's a lot more going on behind the scenes. Well, same goes for this kind of news, clandestine space combat, all low grade green, you know, initial level articles here, right? This isn't proof of raging space combat.
Right.
But you got to keep an eye open. Satellites are visible from Earth. Communications would be obviously affected. Other telltale signs that, you know, things were happening in space and perhaps by presidential direction, it's all classified, right? Even if we, you know, began to lose a lot of assets in space. Wouldn't be a lot of whistleblowers on that, at least not initially.
Good point. That's something maybe we should brainstorm, or maybe even, geez, maybe NBC guys even had a whole show about it. But how do you know? I guess there's different levels to
phases of war.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Phases of war. And
specifically kind of the next level of war. So
this is phase zero of a major conflict. When all the things that can be done outside of both warring countries' publics, you know, become generally aware, you know, these are considered, you know, areas in cyberspace is one of them. Obviously, hacking the crap out of somebody before you go to war with them, you know, in the you know, conventional war and nuclear war, you know, in the kinetic. If you want to use that term, it's a little bit dated by now, but, you know, the shooting war, right?
Right,
you know, that's
right.
That's phase one of these major theater, you know, kind of, you know, global war scenarios. Phase zero is everything that builds up to that, right?
Okay.
Infiltrating agents into
in the battlefield,
into Taiwan so that, you know, they can activate simultaneous to invasion. All phase zero indicators that all of our intelligence agencies, our military services, you know, that's what they're paid to look for. That's what the generals and their staffs are, you know, Pacific commanders' job is to constantly be aware of everything happening in his theater that could constitute acts in phase zero. But space, we stood up the Space Force because, you know, we need a dedicated service to always being paying attention to this stuff, crusher satellites and ones that are maneuverable now and zooming around our satellites. Certainly I do believe tonight that we have a, you know, serious advantage in space. And I believe this because if you look at our history in the 60s, when there was supposedly a missile gap, right? Eisenhower and Kennedy politics, that time frame, people were winning elections based upon the fear of, the Soviets were ahead of us in nuclear weapons technology. It's come out later that the Russians were lagging behind us.
Yeah.
But our military industrial complex, out of a blend, there's a profit motive there, but there's a patriot motive there too, which is, you know, God forbid we let a tyranny like the Soviet Union get ahead of us in armaments. That was dangerous to let that happen. You know, obviously, when you got Vice Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff this week warning that Chinese military progress is stunning, there's two lenses to look at that from. One is, well, you know, the Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff wants to see an increase to the Department of Defense's budget, but also because he and his staff's seeing what our adversaries can do and knowing that if they have an edge, they're losing it.
I feel like, I mean, I have a pretty good experience both professionally and just my interest with satellites and the space program overall. And America easily has an advantage because we've launched 50 times as many payloads as they have in the last, just even the last 20 years, let alone last 60 years.
Right.
So we have, you can't hide a space launch, okay? They, every single launch that China makes is classified, but often if it's some sort of more scientific, it's a little more open and some, but generally by default, they're just like, we're doing a launch. Here's the name. Here's when it's going off. Everyone in the community knows that, but it's just classified.
What community?
The space community, I guess.
Well, so they alert all other nations on some channels, you know, space agency to space agency around the world. That, you know, they're doing this.
That there'll be a launch, but they almost never say what the payload is. Whereas in America, if it's civilian like SpaceX or NASA, they'll say, here's the payload, here's the satellite, here's the scientific instrument. But then they'll also be like, there's an Air Force or now Space Force launch with payload classified.
Payload classified.
But mostly it's open on the American Western side. But in China, it's almost always classified. But still, putting all those launches per year compared to what the West, even just America, let alone other Europe Space Agency, etc., we launch way more into space currently even.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, it's way easier to destroy than create.
Especially in space.
Exactly. So
hard to
defend. Can have 10% the budget and assets, but they can still destroy half of our force because it's so easy to do so.
Could be very possible that we have overwhelming, you know, just overmatch in space. We got it. We have friendly countries that help us maintain it, like the Europeans, and there's not much to worry about. But Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff mentioning this, and he's talking about hypersonics too.
Yeah.
But, you know, and a sub bumping into something underwater right off of Taiwan just a week or so ago. It's percolating in the phase zero under the radar. And when things become newsworthy, don't believe for a second that these governments, including ours, aren't controlling the press releases in entire information operation campaigns, right? There's groups of planners who take everything that will come out publicly or could or may not have to come out publicly, and they analyze it to determine what's the value, what's the propaganda value, but also what's the messaging you can send your adversaries, right? It's called demonstrations of force.
Yeah.
And it's happening, and being aware of these things and knowing the general, this is a high intensity, time in our history head to head with China for sure. But on a day-to-day basis, you talked earlier about the Overton window, Dave Jones was talking about the boiling frog metaphor. What are you used to and how bad is it getting? Well, when it comes to this news again, with potential for military conflict with China, we're in low grade, run of the mill kind of news environment tonight. But that's why it's important to know what your baseline is.
Right.
When absolutely unprecedented things happen, watch out, because that's when houses of cards can start falling.
Absolutely, absolutely. Only got a few minutes left. Maybe hit on another article or two.
The rate of children dying is an article you picked out in the second segment.
So let's go look. I wanted to really read the specifics. Go beyond the headline here. So the headline, though, to start with, children are dying at a rate 62% higher than the previous five-year average since they began to be given the COVID-19 vaccine. So this is 10 to 14-year-olds in the United Kingdom. They take the 10 to 14-year-old age cohort. And here's the whole table here. Where is it? 10 to 14. And they say, okay, in week 38 of the year, there's 52 weeks in the year. Well, here they say week 38, week 39. They don't say October, the week of October 5th. No, they say week 38, week 39, week 40, week 41. Long story short, when looking at week 38 through 41, which is recently, last month or two, that is after they started giving the COVID shots to 10 to 14-year-olds. And during those few week period, they saw death spike, again, as it shows, by 62%. Now, the number of deaths, the raw number of deaths, was low.
Yeah, it's Britain. It's a small, it's like 34 deaths.
Exactly. It's a small sample size, 21 deaths, 34 deaths. So it's not a massive, you know, millions of people in this study.
Weekly, though.
Keep that in mind. But weekly. Exactly, this is the leading edge, potentially.
Eventually, it adds up to yearly, and then it gets into bigger numbers. If the trend continues, how long does the reality of this? These vaccines are dangerous to people, especially young people, go suppressed?
That's exactly what we got to look at. And I'm trying to keep track of this going forward. This could be an anomaly. It's probably within some sort of margin of error for a few weeks. But if it turns into a few months or a few years, but by then, if everyone's dying off by then, you know, oh, well, we have the scientific proof, statistically significant, that it's damaging people. Yeah, but it's too late. So that's kind of the messed up part. So I kind of want to be fair from a statistical point of view that this is small sample size, but these are the legitimate numbers. 62% higher death rate in 10 to 14-year-olds in the United Kingdom over that few week period after the vaccines were given. More studies to be done to prove this out, but this is certainly like kind of a leading edge. And, you know, actually, if you go back to the few weeks just before they started giving those vaccines, there was a huge cutoff. It was only up 3.5% over the 5-year average. So jumped from 3.5% to 62%, literally the weeks that they started giving the vaccines out to the 10 to 14-year-olds per this study.
Yeah, and again, we're talking like going from 28 deaths to 34 deaths. Like, yeah. Small amounts that are changed. Also, this article's not reporting among the adolescent deaths in a given week in England, how many of them were vaccinated. Like, the correlation with the rate of which the increase is coming from vaccinated adverse reactions. But we talked about it earlier, you know, millions of adverse reactions are publicly reported in Europe from one of these vaccines. Mm-hmm. It's stunning, stunning the media kind of just how it went in lockstep. And a big, big constituency, the audience of CNN and MSNBC.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
Is gonna just live with this, just this.
Oh, but they almost embrace it.
Dissonance.
I think they have some sort of cognitive dissonance, good way, or Stockholm syndrome. Because I've talked to some of these folks. A good way to put it is CNN audience, right? That's the purpose. A lot of people we're talking about here, and they say, "Give me the injection. I don't even really care what's in it. I trust the science." Well, the science shows 28,000 dead and 2 million injured. Don't you want to maybe do a little more investigation? No, no. I'm pro-science. I want the vaccine. I want all the boosters. Give me the booster. I've had people tell me this. So maybe they understand the risks so well they're willing to go in, or maybe they have no idea. Whatever it is, they're rolling up the sleeves.
The science sounds like, you know, invoking a deity's
right
name. And it's a belief system at this
that, point. No, like, that's a great way to put it. It's the belief system. So, all right, guys, ladies, and gentlemen. We got to get out of here. Patriot Power Hour. Our time is up. We got to make way for Next Generation. Good show, Future Dan.
Good show, Bankster Breaker.
Yes, sir. We'll be back next week, November 9th, 8 p.m. Eastern, for episode 160. Episode 160. We'll see you next week on Patriot Power Hour.
Thank you for listening to the Prepper Broadcasting Network, where we promote self-reliance and independence. Tune in tomorrow for another great show and visit us at PrepperBroadcasting.com.